Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 336, But They Don't Go Together. Sunday, October 13th, 2024. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. Each time I record an episode, I post show notes, photographs, and links to things I talk about on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. In today's episode, I'll provide you with updates on some knitting and stitching projects, some activities that I've attended and plan to attend, and I'll make a renewed push for the Yarns at Yin Hu puzzle exchange, which is coming up, and we'll close with a poem. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast gets support from folks who make a one-time contribution or sign up to be monthly contributors via Ko-fi. In the last episode, I announced quarter three prize winners, and all of those prizes have been shipped out. Thank you so much for your contribution. The quarter four prize will be a New York Sheep and Wool and Woolen Affair prize pack. I will be selecting some sought after items when I attend the festival and putting them together into a prize for a very lucky winner. The drawing for that will take place in late December. So you can enter by becoming a member or making a one-time contribution before that date. Thanks so much for your support. In the days following Hurricane Helene, I was contacted by Mary Jean Packer of the Bat and Kill Fiber Mill with a request to lend support to the local Cloths Resilient Fiber Artists and Farmers GoFundMe. And here's a little bit from their GoFundMe page. On September 27th, 2024, Local Cloth, located in the heart of Asheville's River Arts District, was devastated by Hurricane Helene. The Local Cloth studio was almost completely destroyed from floodwater and debris, which knocked out the front doors and windows and rose inside more than 10 feet. As you can imagine, this has impacted our entire organization, disrupting our retail and workshop operations, damaging equipment and tools, and wiping out entire collections from our fiber artists and farmers. Some of our resident artists lost everything. Local Cloth is a nonprofit. Our mission is to support and strengthen our local fiber economy. Just a week ago, we accepted the 2024 award for Best Boutique Retail Shop in Asheville, which features local one-of-a-kind and handmade items from our members and supports both the fiber artists and farmers who make them and Local Cloth. The destruction from Hurricane Helene is an incredible loss. It threatens the livelihoods of fiber artists and farmers who comprise our 600-plus member network. And this group of folks is looking for support. Your donation will help us in three ways: to support fiber artists and farmers who have lost work in the flood, to help our resident artists replace their work, supplies, and equipment, and to assist Local Cloth in replacing workshop supplies and equipment. I will link to the GoFundMe page in case you are able to make a contribution, or if you have interest in sharing this GoFundMe page with others. So for those of you who have been following my support of Bat and Kill Fiber Mill and the Hudson Valley Textile Project, these are folks in the Asheville, North Carolina area with similar goals. So your contribution or just your ability to share this opportunity to make a contribution on social media would be much, much appreciated. And I'm very thankful to Mary Jean Packer for bringing this to my attention. It is still possible to sign up for the Yarns at Yinhu Puzzle Exchange. I have not closed the signups yet. So if you are interested, I had some folks contact me and ask if the signup period was closed. And no, I'm keeping it open until I return from New York Sheep and Wool. And Mary Beth and I will be notifying folks who signed up regarding their swap partner for the exchange during the week of October 21st. So there's still time to sign up. If you're wondering about what it is, complete details are included in episode 331. This is an opportunity to swap a puzzle and some gifts and goodies with someone else in the Yarns at Yinhu community. And there have been a couple questions about the kinds of puzzles that you might exchange or the kinds of gifts and goodies that you might be interested in swapping or receiving. So there, even though this is like a holiday time of year, these are not holiday puzzles. And if you absolutely do not want anything Christmassy, you can certainly specify that. In the past, the puzzles have been like a real range of different kinds of images and lots of fun. And there was also a question about exchanging things like patterns for knitting projects that are available online in lieu of shipping things in a package. And that is also certainly fine. So you receive the information to communicate with your swap partner, and you can kind of set the goals and parameters for yourselves once you begin contacting one another. If there are any other questions, do contact me and I will be sure to reply with helpful information. This is so much fun. I'm very much looking forward to this swap. And I look forward to working with Mary Beth to pair up swap partners and get this exchange started. Over the past couple of weeks, I've completed a few garments that I plan to take with me as part of my Rhinebeck wardrobe. One of them is a skirt that I've sewn in wool fabric that is from my mother's stash, and I used the 6 cents asymmetrical skirt pattern to create this skirt. I was challenged by the pattern. The asymmetrical design requires a lot of marks on the fabric, and I spent quite a bit of time figuring and refiguring which mark meant what. And ultimately, I found that size 2, which was the size corresponding best with my own measurements, really ended up being way too big. So I dismantled much of the skirt, removed fabric, and sewed it back together, which was a great challenge, but not really one that I was anticipating. I still think that the skirt could lose a few more inches in the back, but I was unwilling to dismantle it again because I was starting to lose the integrity of some of the fabric, and I want the skirt to hold together. This skirt has an elasticized waistband across the back of the skirt. It has an asymmetrical wrap in the front with mitered corners, which give the skirt a nice substantial look and hold up really well. It's kind of a midi length, and it has an asymmetrically placed pocket on the front that is perfect for holding a mobile phone. I like the skirt. I'm satisfied with my first attempt. It's certainly warm and very durable. It has kind of a nondescript green-brown color, so it will coordinate with quite a few things. What it does not coordinate with is the sweater that I made the skirt to go with. they don't work together. The sweater comes down over the waist. It's not a cropped length like many of my recent sweaters have been. And the skirt is quite gathered at the waist. And so there's overall way too much fabric in the midsection for me to enjoy the way these two pieces go together. So I plan to wear my Rhinebeck sweater, the Rib Wave, which is hand spun, hand knit, and I plan to wear this beautiful wool skirt. I think they are both well suited for the weather that we're forecast to have, but I will not be wearing them together. I'll be coming up with some other outfits, which has been fun and challenging. I also was able to complete one very quick knit with some newly purchased yarn, and I really like the look of it and the way it came out. I completed the Orbital Jumper designed by Ranti Ehinmola. This is a cropped long sleeve raglan jumper knit on very large needles. I used both an Erin weight yarn and a mohair silk yarn held double to knit the sweater. The Erin yarn came from Viking Fiber Company. I talked about visiting that booth at the Southern Adirondack Fiber Festival and picking out a gorgeous deep purple and gold color to knit the sweater. And the mohair silk is a combination of leftover yarns, mainly from Foster Sheep Farm, Bert and Ernie, but then some other things mixed in. You can knit the mohair silk as a single strand in this design, but I like having something a little bit more substantial, so I held that double. I made a few adjustments to the design. One being that I did a ribbed edge for the bottom hem, and then I needed to close up the sleeves a little bit short of their intended length because I was running out of one of the colors of yarn. But I love the way this came together. It pairs really well with a long fluid layer underneath. So I plan to wear it with either a black Amy jumpsuit or perhaps a wool and tank dress and leggings, just something to give that nice smooth layer underneath and then this really cropped top as an additional layer. It's fun. It's not a timeless look. It's kind of a very trendy look, but I had a really good time knitting it. Once again, that's the Orbital Jumper designed by Ranti Ehinmola. As I was recording episode 335, I was getting ready to teach a beginning garment making class at my local Sew and Vac, Pocono Sew and Vac, and I'm pleased to report that I very much enjoyed teaching this class. The participants were incredible. There were finished tops and in-progress tops by the end of the class, and I really do hope to teach that class or another beginning garment sort of class there again in the near future. The energy was just amazing, and it was great to reconnect with teaching again, and I had a lot of fun. In the meantime, I've been thinking about putting together a hand sewing class that I've wanted to do for a long time, but there's just so many details to work out in order to pull the project together. And this is a project for a hand-sewn sewing kit or husif that would feature lots of different sewing techniques as well as wool applique. So it's a lot of moving parts, but I'm getting closer and closer to figuring out how to share the various aspects of making a project like this, which would have, you know, it would be like an heirloom item that would be useful and beautiful and personalized. I'm longing, can you tell? I'm longing to find a way to teach this class. I put a number of things together and took them with me to a quilting retreat, a one-day quilting retreat that I attended at the Hunterdon Art Museum in Clinton, New Jersey. And this quilting retreat was matched up with an exhibit that is there through January called it's called Unblocked, Improvisation and Identity in Contemporary Quilts. And the retreat had time to work on individual projects as well as demonstrations by members of local quilting guilds. It was an amazing day. I love the space that is the Hunterdon Art Museum. It overlooks the Clinton Mill, and it's in this beautiful little town with lots of shops. It had all the fall splendor going, and the other participants were incredibly lovely and working on just all different kinds of things. The demos were wide-ranging and got my head spinning. And then the exhibit itself was really diverse and thought-provoking. So all in all, it was just a really spectacular day. The project that I took with me was to begin working on the interior of this sewing kit. And I brought a number of scraps of linen fabric, as well as a new book that I just received about bojagi, or Korean patchwork stitching, by Youngmin Lee. It's an incredible book if you're interested in bojagi and Korean patchwork. I think she does a great job in this book because she explains all of the terms, particularly for the types of stitches and the seams, and then she indicates how they are similar to things that English-speaking stitchers and sewists would already know. So she kind of layers on the Korean terms and techniques with things that you might be familiar with as someone who's been stitching in the English language. And she has a number of projects that range from quite simple to much more complex. Everything is outlined in detail and very clear. It's really a fun book, not to just look at, but also to use. And so I brought that with me, and I did some patchwork for some of the pockets in my sewing kit. And then I sort of started mapping out additional steps. At this point, I've worked out dimensions and a prototype is nearly complete. And then the next step would be to make another one with specific materials that could be offered in the class. So I'm well on my way enjoying the process, and I can definitely recommend both the improvisational quilting exhibit at the Hunterdon Art Museum, as well as Youngmin Lee's new book on bojagi stitching. Another local event that's coming up following Rhinebeck is the New Jersey Fiber Shed event. It will take place this year at the Hunterdon Art Museum. There's a beautiful plaza that overlooks the waterfall, and on Sunday, October 27th, members of the Fiber Shed will be outside selling products and also doing demos and providing education regarding the Fiber Shed in New Jersey and ways to get involved. So if you're local to that area, I highly recommend this event. I will post a link so that you can find out more about it. For Off the Shelf today, I've selected a poem by my favorite poet, Naomi Shihab Nye. It's titled Isle of Mull, Scotland, and it's from a collection of hers called You and Yours, which was published in 2005. And I selected this because I've been watching all of the beautiful photographs and reels coming from folks who were able to participate in Shetland Wool Week, and I just thought this was fitting. Isle of Mull, Scotland. Because by now we know everything is not so green elsewhere. The cities tied their nooses around our necks. We let them without even seeing. Not even feeling our breath soften as clumps of shed wool scattered across days. Not even this evening balance beam of light on green, the widely lifted land, resonance of moor winding down to water, the full of it, days of cows and sheep bending their heads. We walked where the ancient pier juts into the sea, stood on the rim of the pool by the circle of black boulders. No one saw we were there, and everyone who had ever been there stood silently in air. Where else do we ever have to go, and why? Thanks so much for listening. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful week that includes time for the crafting you enjoy. Take care.